Good morning, and we welcome back to the Daily Pod, the Emergency Management Agency Director in Franklin County, Amy Lindsay. Good morning to you, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you on the program this morning, and thank you for coming in. And, of course, you know, you're involved with a lot of course, EMA matters in Franklin County, but you're also known to respond to neighboring counties or the ones close by. And back in March, it was Randolph County, and in particular, Winchester got hit hard by a tornado. And you were part of a group that went up there. And could you tell us a little bit about that and reason why you went up there and things of that nature?
Yeah, so we were actually, we had a medium risk or moderate risk of tornadoes that day, a tornado outbreak. So I had been watching the weather all afternoon and all evening and had my 800 megahertz radio on, my emergency response radio, and heard the city of Winchester calling for help. They had gotten hit by a tornado. So they were calling for help from all over the place. So I reached out to the county emergency management director and said, hey, do you need help? I can come help you. So a couple days later, they were trying to assess everything that night, but a couple days later, he said, come on up. I need help. We're overwhelmed. So they immediately had a team that night from all over the state. It's called an incident management team, come up and help them get things straight and start organizing the response to the disaster. So, the left arm and the right arm would know who's doing what. And then I went up on, I think this happened on a Thursday, and I went up on a Monday morning to help the director who was overwhelmed. He was up for about 38 hours the day the tornado hit, and he was running ragged. So I went up to help him, and I had the chance to work with some of the city and county officials, as well as state officials that were there, and attend meetings and kind of represent the emergency management director so he could get a little bit of rest. I got to help with public information and making sure the public was aware of what was happening and where to find resources for help. So it was a lot of fun, and it's always a bad day when a community gets impacted by a disaster, but I really enjoy helping people recover from disasters and making sure that people are okay, and we try to get them back to normal. So it was a great honor to be asked to go up and help them.
And looking at the damage, I mean, it's a miracle that, you know, I mean, there were people injured, but the fact that no fatalities. But having been on the ground, Amy, can you kind of describe what you saw up in Winchester?
Yeah. So the tornado came from Selma, which is a little bit west of there, about 15, 20 minutes. And it hit the south side of the city of Winchester. So it went through a couple neighborhoods. It hit a church. It hit part of a school. It barely missed the hospital that was there in town. It did hit the Walmart and cross over a state road. And then it went off kind of into the more rural areas of town. So there were some homes that were completely destroyed, a lot of roofs taken off, some walls collapsed. Some people lost their entire houses. There was a lot of course, tornado damage spread throughout the fields. And it was really interesting to see our nonprofit friends come help from all over the state, actually from all over the Midwest and South. There are a variety of groups that come and help after these things. So there were people that were just there to serve meals to the public and the responders. The local businesses that weren't impacted chipped in and provided meals for those who were working in the emergency operations center. Mrs. Wick's Pies donated a lot of desserts up there, which was always appreciated. We had groups that were, people were bringing in donations from all over the place, clothing and baby gear and pet food and food. So they set up places where the impacted public could go receive those things for free, which was really very helpful. We had the state public communications group come up there with emergency equipment to make sure that the emergency responders could talk again, and they were up there for several days. So it's a lot of it's a lot of hard work, but to see all those different response groups come together and everybody pitch in to help is really heartwarming.
And indeed, we had a staff member who was from the Winchester area, and when we were able to get some things together, we had teamed up with Gilman Home Center and got a truckload and sent some things up there as well. So, we were able to help out with that. But and as far as in the time since then, have you been able to either go up there or hear what kind of progress is being made as far as recovery is concerned?
I haven't been back up there, but I do get updates from the state. When I was up there, I left probably about 6 days after the tornado happened because I had to get back to Franklin County and deal with some stuff there because we were coming up on the eclipse. But the state was bringing in resources. They were going to have FEMA come out and assess the damage to see if it qualified for federal grant dollars. If it did not qualify, there was going to be the option to tap into some state funds. There's a state disaster relief fund that they were looking to use. So last I knew, they were doing meetings to make sure that all the county agencies were tracking any time that they spent dedicated to cleaning up the debris or getting paperwork together, or if they had people responding, the law enforcement officers or any paid emergency responders, they're making sure that they track that. That's always really important to a community, to make sure that you've tracked all your costs associated with a disaster. That is the only way we can get money back from either state funds or federal funds. So it's a big responsibility. So the state had come in to make sure those meetings were coordinated and everybody knew how to do that part. And the city of Winchester, I was really impressed. I've been in this business since 2002, and I've been to a lot of different disasters, tornadoes, floods, you name it. And the city of Winchester was amazingly well prepared for this. No community is truly prepared to be hit by a tornado, but their community really came together, and you could tell they had done the work ahead of time to make sure that everybody knew everybody, that they had updated plans, that the responders had tested those plans, that they knew how to respond, and what their role was in this. So I think they were really well poised to have a good recovery.
All right. So with that, and you mentioned the eclipse, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, we're going to take a timeout, and we'll be back with more with Amy Lindsay, the Emergency Management Director in Franklin County, right after this.
Don't adjust your radio. The sound that you hear is your stomach. You're having trouble focusing. You can't recall your last meal. You're trapped in the hunger zone. The solution, Batesville To Go. Let To-Go deliver a hot, fresh meal to your home or office whenever hunger strikes. To-Go delivers the best food from local restaurants. Visit us online at togodelivers.com or call us at 812-727-8800. Batesville To-Go, big city convenience, small town taste.
And welcome back as we continue our chat with Amy Lindsay. She is the Emergency Management Director in Franklin County, or Franklin County EMA, whichever you prefer. But we alluded to the eclipse, Amy, in the first segment. And can you walk us through that, the preparations, and then the day of and the aftermath?
So I actually started planning with the state partners that I work with, the Indiana Department of Homeland Security, the Indiana Department of Transportation, the Public Safety Communications Groups, and some of the other state partners, Department of Natural Resources, back in February of last year. So it was about a 14-month planning process. Probably had somewhere around 30 different meetings, whether they were with state partners, federal partners, local partners, public safety. It was a lot. So our county started having meetings with community groups last summer around July, getting together once a month to say, okay, we've got this great once-in-a-lifetime event happening. Who wants to do something to increase visitors to our county? And a lot of the businesses jumped on that and said, oh, you know, great, we want to do this. So we spent months doing that and working with our public safety partners to make sure that they were prepared. I helped head up a team that was all of our responders. And there were a lot of concerns ahead of time, reading past reviews from past eclipses and communities on how they were impacted by that. So we were taking those lessons learned and trying to implement them in our county. One of the lessons we learned was there was expected crowd surge of 2 to 3 times our daily population, which our county has about 23,000 people in. So we were expecting maybe around 50,000 visitors. So we thought, okay, there are 6 million people in this state. And if Indiana was expected to be the number 2 state for visitors after Texas, because the path went from Mexico all the way out through Maine, and we had one of the biggest sprawls of the eclipse. So as we got closer to the eclipse, it was looking like Indiana was becoming the number one visitor spot because Texas was cloudy that day. And, you know, luck would have it, we had a beautiful, sunny, clear, warm spring day, and it could have been a blizzard. It could have been tornado weather, and we just got really, really lucky. So we planned for the worst, and we hoped for the best. We had to deal with, ahead of time, we had to deal with making sure we didn't have any construction going on from NDOT that would hinder travel. And we needed to make sure that we had backup ways to communicate with our responders in case all these visitors came to the state and overwhelmed the phone lines, or in case the internet went down for any reason. We had to make sure that not only responders could communicate, but we could communicate with elected officials, and we could communicate with some of these event coordinators, and we could get information out to the public should something bad happen. So we spent a lot of time developing backup plans for that and working with our partners. Additionally, the Department of Natural Resources was expecting a lot of visitors to the state park, so we worked with them and partnered with them to make sure that they had a connection back to Brookville. We had a couple people that were out there helping with communications and with light medical treatment in case we had injuries up there. We didn't want EMS to be running all over the community and stuck in traffic. So it was really great to see all those partners come together and work as a team. On the day of the eclipse, of course, we had some congestion around from about 10 o'clock in the morning till around noon. And then things settled down as everybody got to their location to view the eclipse. We had a nice little party going in Brookville. We had visitors coming from all over the country, Washington, Oregon, California. We even had some from Alaska. They were coming from the East Coast and the South. So it was really neat to see where everybody was from that came to our little community for a once-in-a-lifetime event.
And Brookville and places like that.
Yeah, in Brookville. And then, you know, of course, after the eclipse, we had some congestion for a couple more hours. And we had a team that was in the Emergency Operations Center watching traffic all over the state and all over in Cincinnati to see what was coming at us and how things were flowing so we could adjust responders if needed. But I think everything went really, really well. We've built a strong, solid partnership of businesses and responders and elected and appointed officials throughout the community. So I don't want to do it again for another 150 years, but it was a pretty cool event.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, once in a lifetime for a lot of folks. So, and looking ahead, Amy, I understand that the Franklin County EMA has an event coming up.
Well, not the emergency management.
It's not you. Somebody else.
It's the 4-H Association. Okay. They're doing a Family Fun Day and Rodeo coming up on June 8th. So they are bringing in bounce houses and food vendors and craft vendors and just having a day of fun for the family. And they're going to do a rodeo later that night. And we did it a couple years ago, and it was a whole lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that. And it's just a kind of a fundraiser for their new building that they have down at the 4-H Park, which will eventually be used in the case of an emergency as well. So we're trying to make sure that we've got all the funds to get that building done.
Okay,
I'm looking forward to it.
So EMA's stake in it as well. You know, the fact that, I mean, we talked about the fact that it's going to be obviously used for the 4-H fair, but also the fact that it can be rented out for weddings and reunions and things of that nature. And, you know, in this case, in case of an emergency shelter.
So we could use it as a place to get donations to people who've been impacted by an event in the community, or we could use it as an emergency shelter during, if there's a storm at the fairgrounds during an event. We could use it for temporary emergency housing as needed. So we're trying to just raise some funds for that to make sure that we have all the resources we need should our county ever be impacted by an event like a tornado.
All right. As they say, prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
Yes, yes. Always hope for the best.
Yes, that's the motto of emergency management.
Really is.
Yep. All right. Well, Amy Lindsay, Franklin County Emergency Management Director, thank you for coming in. Yeah, thank you for your time, and stay well, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the road.
I'd love to.